The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus out to the desert, and he remained in the desert, for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some prominent themes for this first Sunday of Lent during this liturgical year lead of the three-year cycle of readings that were just presented before us in the four readings, and I say four readings because I'm including Psalm 25, the responsorial psalm, are themes of temptation, steadfastness, resistance of the temptation, a clear conscience. In fact, 1 Peter tells us in the second reading, we are to strive for a clean conscience, let alone a clear conscience, a conscience that leads the soul into a state of sanctifying grace as opposed to a state of mortal sin, so that we can make a holy communion in 25 minutes from now and not a sacrilegious communion, thus heaping mortal sin on top of mortal sin. That's just one example. Also, we heard about healing, redemption, and salvation in all four of these readings. From Genesis, Psalm 25, 1 Peter, and the Gospel of Mark. Temptation, steadfastness, resistance, clear and clean conscience, healing, redemption, and salvation. What great themes to begin our parish mission tomorrow night on this first full week of Lent. What a great week to have a parish mission. The very first full week of Lent at the beginning of the season. Thereby to make a great Lent in the remaining 4 weeks following the mission. I do this for a living. I can tell you right now, the first week of Lent and the first week of Advent are the two greatest weeks in the 52-week year to have a parish mission. I don't know how your new pastor did that. He scheduled it perfectly. Well, I know why, because he did schedule his predecessor, Father Sebastian. But to Father Merrick's, to his credit, he wanted to keep the parish mission on schedule, and I thank him for that on behalf of the Fathers of Mercy. I called him in mid-December once I found out he was the pastor named here to succeed Father Sebastian, and I explained to him that we Fathers of Mercy have a policy that once a predecessor has scheduled a mission, the new pastor has the ability to cancel it if he wants. And he said, no, I very much want to keep it on. So I thank him for that. So again, not only great themes presented to us just now in these readings, but a great week to have a parish mission. Now, you know from the wonderful publicity that the parish mission has received, and I thank Father's staff for doing such a great job promoting the parish mission, that the overall title or theme is Work Out Your Salvation. Work out your salvation from Philippians 2:12, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, or as one of my younger nephews would say, St. Paul's letter to the Filipinos, where Paul tells the Philippians, work out your salvation. He says, look, it is God's will that you be saved. It is not God's will that you be damned, that you be reprobated. It is God's will that you be saved. So work out your salvation, Philippians 2:12, is the overall title or theme of our mission. And again, from the great publicity in the parish bulletin, the posters that I've seen at the 56 entrances of this church, just wonderfully, wonderfully promoted. The four titles are one each night. Number one, be faithful to your daily duty. Why? Because that's where your sanctification begins, right there where you are. Number two, be other-centered, as opposed to the opposite of that, which is being very
self-centered.
Somebody said me-centered. Very good. I've never heard that one before. Yeah, me-centered, self-centered. Night number three, Wednesday, understand the reality of vice and virtue. Understand the reality of vice and virtue. And night number four, the closing night, the closing mass, practice and live the sacraments. And I mean practice and live the sacraments. So I want you to see these four conferences and their titles as Father Wade's four-point plan to assist you in working out your salvation. And they're in this order for a reason. Think of these four conferences and their titles as Father Wade's four-point plan to help you work out your salvation, quote unquote, from Philippians 2:12. Again, be faithful to your daily duty, night number one, step number one. Why? Because that's where your sanctification begins, right where you are. Single, married, consecrated priest, brother, sister, doctor, farmer, lawyer, homeschooling mother of six, a divorced dad of three, striving to live a chaste life as the priest of the home, guiding his children. How about a retired grandparent or a working grandparent? How about a recently widowed grandparent being faithful to their duty? How about a high school or middle school student? How about a university student at the University of Florida? I mean, the University of Kentucky. We are all called to be faithful to our daily duty. Religious order priests under a superior general like Father Wade. A diocesan priest like Father Merrick under a bishop. How about the active nun teaching in the classroom? How about the cloistered nun in the monastery behind the cloistered wall with a life of prayer with her community? We are all called to be faithful to our daily duty. My favorite quote of St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, is this, and I quote, "God wants to make you a saint right there where you are," end quote. God wants to make you a saint right there where you are. But see, we're wounded. We're wounded individuals living in a wounded world, result of the fall of our first parents, the original sin, which ushered in personal sin. And what is personal sin? But any mortal or venial sin one might commit. I haven't talked to my brother-in-law in 2.5 years because he never returned my chainsaw. Are you kidding me? You haven't talked to your brother-in-law in 2.5 years because he never returned your chainsaw? You're willing to risk going to hell over a chainsaw. How sad is that? And yet we're wounded. People can't rise above it. Can't you just ask for the chainsaw back? Nope, he borrowed it from me. He should bring it back to me without me having to ask for it. Our Lord says himself in Mark 7, "He who even calls his brother a fool will be held liable to the fire of hell." Those are Jesus' own words. He who even calls his brother a fool will be held liable to the fire of hell. And yet you haven't talked to your brother-in-law in 2.5 years because he didn't return your chainsaw. You know, people are funny. Each night after the mission, I greet people in the narthex as they're exiting before I go and hear the 8:15 confessions at night. And one guy approached me as people were exiting the church, shaking hands with people. I'd say he was probably in his early to mid-30s. He comes up to me, he grabs my hand with both of his, and he says, "Father, Father, I'm the brother-in-law who kept the chainsaw." That's good self-knowledge. St. Thomas Aquinas says the first step needed to grow in holiness is good self-knowledge. If you don't have self-knowledge, you can't grow in holiness. Be faithful to your daily duty. Number two, be other-centered as opposed to being self-centered. Night number three, understand the reality of vice and virtue and the devastating consequences that vice can have in a person's life if it goes unchecked. But by the same token, the wonderful benefits that virtue has on a person's life when it takes effect. You know, we all look for holiness in extraordinary, profound ways. Your holiness begins right where you are. Another great quote that kind of echoes Jose Maria Escriva, God wants to make you a saint right there where you are, that I said earlier, is Catherine of Siena. She says, quote, if you are what you should be, you will set the world ablaze. What a great bumper sticker that would be. Really. If you are what you should be, you will set the world ablaze. Understand the reality of vice and virtue. And lastly, number six, practice and live the sacraments. And I mean practice and live the sacraments, especially those two of the seven that can be received over and over and over again. Eucharist and reconciliation. The other five cannot. The other five have some stipulation imposed upon them as to how often they can be received. But Eucharist and penance can be received over and over and over again with much frequency. Why? Because these are the two sustaining sacraments that sustain us in our daily walk in life. Again, whether single, married, or a consecrated priest, brother, sister, doctor, farmer, lawyer, retired, grandparent, whatever, university student, they sustain us. Holy Mother Church, the Bride of Christ, which he founded, being just that, a good and holy mother, knows what we need. And that's why she gives us those two sacraments so frequently. I want to close with this. At the end of the pew, there's a wonderful, wonderful examination of conscience and Catholic doctrine worship. It's a great primer for the parish mission. Ample time to go to confession this week. Be sure to see the parish bulletin. It's like having a little catechism right there in the palm of your hand. You know, maybe there's something in your past that you just cannot seem to bring to confession, and it still haunts you. Now, this is the week to get rid of it. Sorry. This is the week to get rid of it. What are the words after the Our Father in every single sacred liturgy we attend? Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, I leave you
peace.
I give you. In other words, he wants to give us his peace. He doesn't want us to fall to pieces. He wants to give us his peace. And there's a wonderful, wonderful examination of the conscience side to prepare for confession this week. And the opposite side of the major tenets of Catholic Christian doctrine. These are designed for 13 years of age and older, as the front says, for teens and adults, 13 years of age and older. We hope to see you Monday night at 7 o'clock. The last thing I want to say is this. I can promise you two things about this parish mission. Number one, it will be solidly, capital S, solidly catechetical. You're going to get some solid Catholic Christian doctrine this week. Amen?
Yeah.
Number two, you're going to get that doctrine all the while looking at the lives of the saints, particularly those saints who suffered from particular issues, dependencies, and addictions, but overcame them through a life of great heroic virtue, so much so that when they died, their causes were introduced for sainthood. These are canonized saints of the church. Augustine, with his lust addiction, he tells all of his confessions, the confessions of St. Augustine. He fathered a child out of wedlock at age 17. He lived with a woman for 23 years whom he never married, all the while during those 23 years, leaving behind him a string of discarded mistresses. And today he's not only one of the 36 doctors of the church, he's specifically one of the doctors of moral theology. And you don't think there's hope for you? If there was hope for Augustine, there's hope for you, amen?
Amen.
That's the glory of being Catholic, right there. When you read something like that. But Augustine's one of the doctors of moral theology, along with being one of the doctors of grace. Another great example of being Catholic is when you read the fact that in age 32, Gianna Emanuela Mola attended her mother's beatification and canonization in Rome at St. Peter's Basilica. At age 32, the same young daughter that Gianna refused to abort by way of her ovarian and breast cancer brought her daughter to term. And 32 years later, she attends her mother's beatification, and she attends her mother's canonization. That's the glory of being Catholic. Right there. Amidst a culture of death that's raging out there, Parkland being the most recent example of it. Know your faith. Live your faith. Evangelize your faith. Be the husband and father you're supposed to be. Be the wife and mother you're supposed to be. Be the widow you're supposed to be. Be the high school student you're supposed to be. Be the diocesan priest you're meant to be. Be the religious order priest you're meant to be. Because we're all called to be great, great saints. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday mornings, we will have our 8:30 Mass in the church here. Because we're anticipating a little larger crowd for the morning Mass. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here in the church at 8:30. On Monday and Wednesday, exposition will still follow in the chapel across the way right after that 8:30 Mass. And then Thursday night, there's only one Mass that day. In the evening at 7 o'clock, the solemn closing Mass of the parish mission. The first three nights of the mission at 7 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we expose the Blessed Sacrament on the altar, and then I'll preach to the people. But the last night is the closing Mass. You have a lovely, lovely parish here, lovely grounds, the shrine right across the way. I'm looking at this week for myself as a little retreat. For me personally, it's such a beautiful, beautiful setting. Let's make this a great four nights, 7 o'clock each night. God bless you.